Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Gladys Kessler welcoming you to Monday Memos from Concordia Seminary. Well, by now the recent Canonical Convention held in St. Louis has become history. In our program today, we want to focus on an interesting sidelight of that convention. However, before doing so, I'd like to invite all of you in our radio audience to the opening service at the seminary, which is scheduled for Friday evening, September 4th at 8 p.m. A number of new faculty and staff members will be installed or inducted in that service, which will be held in the seminary chapel. Afterwards, there will be a reception with refreshments in the outdoor quad. So please mark that date on your calendar, and we hope to see many of you present. And now, on to today's program. Rather than giving you a preview of it, I will simply turn the microphone over to my good friend, Carl Noble.
If any of you out there have been listening to KFUO, you know that my wife and I are Polish, and I have in our studio today two very fine people that I've gotten a chance to know, the Reverend Doctor and the Bishop of the Church, Vladislav Fiala, and his most beautiful and gracious wife, Helena. Dr. Bishop Fiala is here in St. Louis in conjunction with our past convention. He received his doctorate hood just a few days ago. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod honored him for his work throughout the world, that work that we are going to be talking about today. I'd like to welcome you both, Bishop and Mrs. Fiala, to the program. So how are you today, sir?
I am quite all right. Thank you very much.
And Mrs. Fiala.
Oh, I am happy to be here.
Okay,
I like this stage
very much. Oh, very good. I had to really get Mrs. Fiala into the studio. At first, she didn't want to. She thinks that her English is quite broken, but it's very, very good. Well, first of all, Bishop, in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we don't hear too much about the term Bishop. I'm wondering if we might be able to start out by asking you, you know, the difference in polity between our church and maybe the church in Europe. A lot of people do not realize that there indeed are bishops of the Lutheran churches in the various countries. Why are you called bishop here?
Because this is a biblical name for workers in the church, especially pastors. At the beginning of the church, every pastor was a bishop. Episcopus, it means pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an ancient title. There is nothing in the Bible about president. Plenty about bishop. Yeah. And then throughout the history of the church, there used to be always bishops in every church. So we assume the biblical title.
Okay.
And we have not invented it.
And you also are the person in charge of the various Polish Lutheran churches throughout the world. Is that correct?
Yes, Don Wesley used to say that the whole world is his place, and I am saying the whole free world is my place. Okay. We have congregations in Great Britain, then in European continent, France, Germany, then in America, in Canada, Australia, and our people are scattered all over the free world.
Okay.
And we try to serve them in many ways, and I think that we are successful in our work.
Mm-hmm.
We established our church officially in 1963, when the first synod of our church met in London, but already in 1945 there was Polish Lutheran parish or congregation in London. This is the oldest Polish Lutheran congregation outside Poland. And now we have about 40 congregations and preaching stations in Great Britain, and then several on the continent, and also several here in the United States, and also two or three in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So everywhere there are Polish Lutherans.
Very good.
And the headquarters of our church is, of course, in London, England.
Right. I was just going to ask you that. But before I ask you, I'm going to ask Mrs. Fiala a quick question. How long have you and your husband been married?
Over 15 years.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Nearly 15 years.
I wish, you know, seriously, I wish all of our viewers could see both Bishop and Mrs. Fiala, because You remind me of my aunt, who is very old, but she looks like she's in her 40s, and you look very, very young. And so does your husband here. I'll be kind there. Okay, now, you both live in London, as you just said before, Bishop, and the name of the church is the Polish Lutheran Church in Exile.
Polish Evangelical Lutheran Church in Exile.
Okay, now, why in London, number one?
First of all, some of the members of our church were deported to Russia at the beginning of the war.
Mm-hmm.
Some were sent to Nazi concentration camp. I was one of them. 1940, in April, I was arrested and sent to notorious concentration camp Dachau, and then extermination camp Mauthausen and Gießen. And then there were also soldiers who, 1939, went via Hungary and Romania, Yugoslavia to France, and they formed a new army, which fought Germans in 1940. After the collapse of France, they were invited to come to England. And after the war, Polish army, Navy and Air Force, about 3/4 of a million of soldiers, were transferred to Great Britain and demobilized over there. I was demobilized myself in May 1949. And then we decided to establish congregations all over the country, and chaplains became pastors. And so the church took its beginning, and then it developed and spread all over the world. Then people from London, Birmingham, Manchester emigrated to USA, provided by the USA government, because for the Polish veterans, first they were 18,000 places secured for them in this stage, then 12,000, so about 30,000 could come here without any difficulties, and many thousands went to Canada, and about 30,000 to Argentina, Brazil, all over, and then to Australia as well. So we decided to stay in Britain. So I think we are not some sort of refugees, and we didn't go to London on our own accord, but being soldiers, we had to simply obey, and we were transferred, so we were there. Churchill's idea was to send the Polish troops to Germany's occupation troops, but Churchill lost his election in 1945 and came the Labour government, and they said, no, we will bring all Polish soldiers to Britain, and they will be demobilized here, and then they can go either home or they can stay. So we decided to stay over there.
And during World War II, you were the chief of the Polish Army, Navy, and Air Force as far as the
After I got I received the freedom again, 1944, so I was nominated chaplain, and later on chief chaplain of the Army, and then also Polish Navy and Polish Air Force, who took part in the Battle of Britain in 1940, already in September. So, graves of Polish soldiers are everywhere, in Europe, Britain, but we survived, and we decided to have our own independent church, which is close to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and we have intercommunion with the Synod and altar and pulpit fellowship. That's why we are so close, and that's why I am today in this studio.
So in other words, like if a pastor from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod came over to London to visit, he could preach and serve communion.
Of course. We'll invite him with pleasure to our pulpit and to the altar. There's no problem to have you in our church or vice versa. I can preach in any Missouri church.
There are probably many of our listeners who remember the war times. I don't know if this might be a delicate subject, but the stories we hear and read during the war of the different concentration camps and the millions of people that were killed. You've been there. Are they true stories?
It's difficult to describe what happened over there. There are many books about it, but it is not enough written because you can't describe the feelings of a prisoner who was beaten every day and kicked and suffered hunger and so on and so forth. It is beyond the human possibility to describe all atrocities he went through. So it means it is not enough.
I think, you know, the reason I ask this question is that I know of a friend of mine back in Detroit who was convinced that there were no concentration camps, plus also that nobody was ever gassed or burned in the oven. And I, you know, you just wonder how things like that get started as opposed to the real truth.
I would give him good advice. He should go to a doctor and ask him to examine his head. Because in Germany there are still concentration camps. Wolfhausen is intact. Then Auschwitz is intact. And in Dachau, you can see the gas chambers and so on. So no one can deny this. And I, being there, you see, and seeing it with my own eyes and hearing the cries, you see, with my own ears when I hear such a statement you have made right now. So I think that somebody either he is living in other world or something, because everybody who has a little bit of common sense knows it, and if he doesn't believe, he should go to Europe and see it.
Right. Are you acquainted with Pastor Von Braun, by any chance?
I don't want to be associated with him.
Okay. I think there
are some invented stories maybe, and so I don't want to
talk about that. I was just wondering. Okay, well, now, you've lived in London now for how many years since the 40s?
I lived there since 1946. I was still in the army because there was headquarters of the Polish army under the British command. And then I was demobilized, and I decided to stay there because there was a congregation since 1945. They called me to be their pastor, and then the headquarters of our church was established in 1963. So I am there, and I am quite happy there.
Now, tell us about the name, Evangelical, the Polish Lutheran Church in Exile. Before we were mentioning that you are going to be changing the name, I'm wondering if you could tell us why.
Yes, the reason is that the name Exile has political meaning. Now, members of our church are not in exile, but they are in their new countries because they are British subjects, American subjects, Canadians and Australians, so on, they are at home. So there is no exile anymore. So we can say outside Poland would be perhaps better, or in the free world, but not in exile anymore. It was all right 1953 because we were at that time so-called political emigration or something, or emigres. But now we are at home in England or in America or elsewhere.
Now, why is this? Oh yeah, are there any Lutherans in Poland right now?
Before the war, there were a lot of Lutherans in Poland. Now there are only 70,000 of Lutherans left in Poland, so it's less than one-tenth. And this number is decreasing, and people are going to the West, especially to Germany, West Germany. And if they can't get to West Germany, so they go to East Germany, because it's easier.
I understand that I think it was last year you had a visit with a man who was very close to any Pole's heart, Karol Wojtyła, and I'm wondering if you could tell us something about your visit to the Vatican and to Pope John Paul.
Yes, why not? At the beginning of February, I received a letter from Vatican, and to my surprise, I read this letter. And there was nothing but invitation for a private audience, rather a conversation. So of course I accepted the invitation, and I was told I should be there on the 6th of February. I was there, and then I was told that this audience or conversation will take place on the 9th of February, 11 o'clock. So I was taken there by a car, and a young Polish priest took me over there, and he told me the audience will take no longer than about 10-15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So when I arrived there, and I had to go through three guards, one, and second, and third, and eventually I reached the second floor in a golden lift. So people who were there took me to the office where was a bishop, and this was near to the private library of the Pope. So shortly after 11 o'clock, the bishop opened the door, and there was my countryman John Paul II stretching his hand to me and said in Polish, "Welcome to Vatican." So I thanked him for that, and then we had a very long discussion. It lasted for more than 1 hour, and we covered all kinds of fields, political and religious and national and who knows what.
Mm-hmm.
He was interested in everything. He was very friendly, and he gave me a bishop's cross, a souvenir, and he asked me to come again, and we will talk again about all these problems we just discussed. So it was a very pleasant experience, and I must say that he is a real human being, not because he spoke in Polish all the time, but because of his attitude towards other denominations. He keeps his own religious persuasion, but he respects other denominations, you see, and their beliefs, and he didn't say one single word against Lutherans. On the contrary, he was interested in the church work of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So I could enlighten him a little bit about this church of yours, and he was very pleased to hear that Missouri Synod is a conservative church, and based on the teaching is based on the Bible. So he was quite happy with your religious attitude and standpoint.
In London, England, one of the things that Bishop Fiola does quite regularly, he is the Lutheran Hour spokesman for not only the English speaking English area, but also you have the Polish Lutheran Hour and the Slovak Lutheran Hour, and well, you yourself speak seven languages, correct?
Yes, more than that, but I speak in seven languages outside Poland, if necessary.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the. I am preacher for the Polish Lutheran Hour nearly for 30 years, and our programs are being in Luxembourg, and our programs are reaching Poland, and we are receiving many letters, and we see that this work is not in vain, because people receive the Bible from us, for which they ask for, and then they started to read the Bible, and then they started to ask us questions. And we can tell them something about the true faith and belief. They are questioning now even the Roman Catholic Communion, purgatory, confession, and about the Mariology, and all these things. So it means that we are now opening eyes and hearts of these people who are listening to my addresses once a week from Luxembourg.
Okay.
And I am most grateful for this program which you originated here in St. Louis, and now we can continue in Europe for nearly 30 years. So this is very important that we are preaching pure gospel over the radio waves, you see, and this word of ours reach Poland and every corner of Poland, because we are receiving letters from all over the country, south, north, west, east of Poland. And simple people, simple-minded people, educated people, everybody is writing and would like to know a little more about God and Jesus Christ and about the gospel and about salvation, and we are helping them to understand the real way which leads to God and to the eternal life.
You know, we only have, unfortunately, four more minutes, and I'm sure the station won't mind if we go over a few minutes, but we wrote back in December some letters, and I'd like to bring up the question of how can we help. In the letter, you mentioned about a young man in Poland who got through a seminary, and the communist, he's Lutheran, the communist government has forced him to work in a work camp. How can we, in this country, help the Polish Lutheran Church spread the gospel not only throughout Europe, but in other ways? I know Mrs. Fiorella even mentioned before about clothing that you send over to the poor in Poland. What about pastors?
What we need here outside Poland is pastors. And we can get pastors from Poland, but the state authorities decide about it, and they're not the bishops. So, there is one young theologian who completed his studies 3 years ago and has a degree in theology, but the regime or office for church affairs told the bishop that this man must not be ordained. Why? Because he didn't want to join the Association of Socialist Students in Poland. But fortunately, he managed to get to London, and he's in London now. What we need is some money to support this man, and maybe some more, because we need more pastors.
Mm-hmm.
We are scattered all over Great Britain and Europe, and our pastors have to travel 200 miles to a service, or even more. To go to Scotland is very difficult, especially in winter. There we would like to have one, then in London, then near in Birmingham, and then Manchester, and Sheffield, and everywhere. We would like to have more pastors, and that's why we need some money for this, because we hardly can maintain our pastors which are working now.
And part of your ministry also is helping aid to poor people in Poland, correct?
Yes, we don't pay too much attention to ourselves, but we are helping our brother church in Poland. For instance, with help of our church, the famous Holy Trinity Church in Warsaw, which was destroyed during the war, was rebuilt to her pre-war beauty. Then famous Church of Grace, Jesus Church in Czechen, also with our help was rebuilt. Then in Częstochowa, where is the famous shrine of Madonna, Black Madonna, there is a Lutheran church, not very many people left, and we help them. So we are helping them as much as we can. And of course, there are about 5 Polish Lutheran old people's homes in Poland. And the people over there are very, very poor. So we are sending them with clothing, food parcels, medicine, and only this year we sent over £200 of food, and also several hundred of pounds of clothing and medicines, and we are helping in this way, because there is no clothing for these people, nobody cares.
Yeah.
If we don't say, send something, so they won't have anything to wear. But still we are trying to help them, because we are free people in the free world, and we understand the situation of these poor people over there. And we consider it to be our duty of ours to help these people who are less fortunate than we are here in the West.
And also, you know, with the pastors, the need of pastors, it kind of reminds me of when St. Paul said, how can human beings learn the gospel if we have no one to send to them? And Well, now, we only have, well, we're actually 2 minutes over time, but can you give an address that people who are out there in the audience today who are listening that might like to help in some little way can get a hold of you?
Yes, perhaps it will be the best if I give you my private address in London. It's number 2, Leinster Road. I'm going to spell it, Leinster. L-E-I-N-S-T-E-R, Road, London, N-10, North 10, N-10. 2 Leinster Road, London, N-10.
Okay, and that's Bishop W, we'll just insert Ladislaw, so W Fierla, F-I-E-R-L-A, 2 Leinster Road, L-E-I-N-S-T-E-R, Road, London, North 10. And that's, of course, in London, England. But with that, unfortunately, we could go on for another half hour. My wife, Elisbieta, has said many times since she has met you that it's been a very long time that she has been as impressed with two people as she has with you. We look forward to hearing you tonight at the seminary, and it has been a pleasure. And Mrs. Fiala, thank you for being here. And Bishop, dobre zinje, drogi braci.
Thank you very much. God bless you all.
Thank you.